life. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus hasn't died yet? He's still looking toward the cross. But that cross is so certain and so fixed that he is able to say, even before it takes place, I am no longer in the world. That cross, my friends, was put on God's calendar before the world began. There was no doubt that it was going to be carried through. And so he speaks in this way. Now, look at what he says next. He says, and I come to you, Holy Father. There's a great sermon there, my friends, on how the Lord Jesus Christ regarded God the Father. Calls him Holy Father. Some of us need to take this seriously to our hearts, because we've got this little bitty God who's just kind of our buddy. And there's no sense of awe. But the Lord Jesus said, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that these may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And so here the Lord Jesus continues to pray for his disciples. And I tried to emphasize as I read these verses that word keep, or the word kept. And that, as you can see, crops up. It's there in verse 11, it's twice in verse 12, and it's there in verse 15. The Lord Jesus says keep in verse 11 and in verse 15. And there in verse 12, he says, I kept and I have kept. Now, this word keep constitutes the second great petition in this prayer. There are really, up to this point, two petitions in this prayer. The first one is back there in verse 5, where the Lord Jesus says to the Father, Father, glorify me together with yourself. You know what a petition is? That means that he's asking God to do something. And his first petition is this, glorify me, Father. And now the second petition is here in verse 11, and it's there again in verse 15, where he says, keep. I sometimes think that perhaps the thing we most need from the Lord Jesus Christ, other than salvation itself, is to study his praying. He was a man of prayer. Came to the Lord Jesus one time, and they had observed the praying of the Lord Jesus. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And oh, how we need to go to Jesus' school of prayer. And there are so many things we can learn there. One thing I've already alluded to is how to view God. He's Holy Father. We're to have a sense of awe upon us as we come into the presence of God. But another thing perhaps that we can learn from Jesus is to be sparing in our petitions and to fill our prayers with other elements, such as praise and adoration and worship. And I think if we would do a prayer inventory, we would find that we might be long on petitions and short on some of these other things, such as thanksgiving and adoration, praise and worship. The Lord Jesus didn't have many petitions in this prayer. Here's the second one. He says, keep. Now, we come this evening to this matter of keeping. And I want to in a few minutes talk to you about three things. First of all, I want to give you a definition. And then I want to call your attention to the testimony of Jesus. Jesus gives a testimony here. And then after we look at Jesus' testimony, I want us to notice the means that Jesus talks about here for this keeping. And so there are three key words tonight. One is definition. And the second is testimony. And the third key word is means, the means by which this keeping is to take place. Now, a word about this definition. This doesn't show up in our English versions, but there are two different words here translated keep in these, or kept in these verses of Scripture that I read a while ago. If we had the Greek New Testament in front of us, we could easily recognize that there are two different Greek words, and our English versions translate these two different Greek words with the same English word. And really, I fear here that they have not served us well. Those who translated, they would have done better had they chosen another English word to translate this second Greek word. Well, let me show you here what I'm talking about. The first word is used three times here in these verses. It's used there in verse 11 and there in verse 12. The first, kept, you see that? Where he says, I kept them. And then there in verse 15 where he says, keep. Those three words translate one Greek word. And that one Greek word refers to the keeping of a shepherd. Now, look again at verse 12. You see that second, the second occurrence of that word kept, where he says, I have kept. That's a different word. And it refers not to the keeping of a shepherd, but rather to guarding something. Now, my friends, this is very important, I think. And it gives us a rather full statement here of the keeping that Jesus Christ is talking about. And you see the difference here. If I were to tell you that I've been out keeping sheep, you would have one mental picture in mind. And if I were to tell you that I have been keeping watch over all my fortune, you'd have a different keeping in mind. That is, by the way, stretching it whenever I talk about keeping watch over all my fortune. But you see what I'm driving at. There are two different kinds of keeping here. One is the keeping of a shepherd, and the other is guarding. Guarding. Keeping watch in the sense of guarding. Now, the first keeping is rather broad and comprehensive. You know, the keeping of a shepherd entails several things. It entails feeding the sheep. It entails watering the sheep. It entails making sure that the sheep have proper rest, and it includes this element of guarding. If the sheep are endangered or jeopardized, then it's the responsibility of the shepherd to guard them. You remember David had to, talking about the great King David when he was a shepherd, had to guard his sheep and had to protect them from the attack of a bear and the attack of a lion. Well, this is the definition, then, that we need to have in mind. The clarification, if you please, here. There's shepherding here, which is comprehensive, and there's guarding, which is a very narrow thing. It's a very narrow word, guarding. Now, I want to go on, secondly, to just call your attention to the testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ gives here. And that testimony is contained in verse 12, where he says, while I was with them, and he's talking about those 11 disciples who had remained true to him. Here's his testimony. He says, I kept them. And that's that first instance is the word shepherd. While I was with them, he said, I shepherded them. And then he goes on to say there in verse 12, those whom you gave me. Oh, every time I come to that phrase, my heart just kind of flutters with excitement. I'd like to go back over that ground. Oh, if you're a child of God, you were given by God the Father to God the Son before the world began. And someone will say, I can't understand that. Of course you can't. But this is something of the marvel and glory of our salvation. But the Lord Jesus says now in verse 12, here's his testimony, I kept them. And he says, first of all, I shepherded them. But then he goes on in verse 12 to say, those whom you gave me, I have kept. And that word is the word guarded. And so the Lord Jesus, here's his testimony. He says, now these 11 true disciples, those whom you, I have shepherded and I have guarded. And I want you to know, my friends, that this is, of course, very obvious on the pages of the New Testament. And as you follow the accounts of the life of Christ, you see him, do you not, shepherding his disciples and guarding his disciples. And I wanted to save this for later, but I get excited about it and have to say it now, that the Lord Jesus, who shepherded and guarded his disciples on that occasion, has provided for the shepherding and guarding of all of us who are his children today. Now you see instances of him shepherding. I talked about how the shepherd is responsible to feed the flock. You see the Lord Jesus Christ feeding his flock spiritual food in the Gospels, do you not? Bob read a long chapter a while ago, Matthew chapter 13, most of which is words from Jesus. What are these words from Jesus? It's Jesus feeding his flock. Do you realize that the Bible talks about Jesus, about believers as being the flock of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ being the chief shepherd? And you know who I am? I and all others who profess to be preachers of the Bible are under shepherds. And the chief shepherd feeds his flock through his under shepherds. And so what we do here, ladies and gentlemen, is of immense importance when we come together around the Word of God Sunday after Sunday. Oh, if you'd learn to look upon the preaching of the Word in this way, you might find your view of it revolutionized. When a man of God stands to proclaim the Word of God, your chief shepherd is feeding his flock through his under shepherd. He's shepherding his flock. The Lord Jesus did that for these men when he was with them. He fed them the Word of God. You know, a shepherd has to tenderly care for all the needs of the sheep. If the sheep are diseased or crippled or hurt in any way, it was the job of the shepherd to provide care for them and to provide healing for them. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated this when he was upon this earth, his tender care for his disciples? Peter's mother-in-law dies, and the Lord Jesus, she gets sick, and the Lord Jesus goes down and heals her of her sickness so that she doesn't die. And there the disciples are out there on that lake. And you remember how the storm arose and the Lord Jesus Christ stilled the storm. And out of tender concern, tender care for his disciples. And so you see the Lord Jesus shepherding these men. He feeds them. He meets their need. If they're in a storm, he calms the storm, and he calms their hearts in the midst of the storm. He takes care of them as they face life and the various challenges and the various complexities and problems of life. But the Lord Jesus not only shepherded these men, he guarded these men. You find these men running into trouble from time to time and needing to be guarded from various things. Sometimes these men had to be guarded from themselves. Do you have enemies? Do you realize that person who looks at you from your mirror there in the bathroom each morning is an enemy? Pogo said, "We have met the enemy and he is us." And we have enemies, but my friends, one of our greatest enemies is this own heart of ours that fills us with pride. One time the disciples came back to the Lord Jesus and they were so filled with pride, they said, "Ha ha! We're able to cast out demons." And the Lord Jesus guarded them. He said, "Don't rejoice in that you're able to cast out demons, but rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven." And he guarded them from undue pride. You see, he guarded them from controversies with the Pharisees. One time, the disciples were plucking some grain and eating that, and the Pharisees accosted them and said, "Why are you eating, doing this on the Sabbath day?" And the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in and began to guard his disciples. A perfect example of this guarding comes a little bit later on this very night that Jesus prayed this prayer here in John 17. A little bit later, Judas Iscariot leads a band of men to arrest Jesus, and Jesus steps between that mob, that snarling mob, and his disciples, and he says, "If you seek me, then let these go their way." He was guarding his disciples. And so we see Jesus' testimony here, and we recognize from what we read in the scriptures that this testimony is true. Jesus did shepherd his disciples while he was engaged in his earthly ministry. He did all for them that a shepherd has to do for his sheep. And he also guarded them in this narrow sense of defending them and protecting them from danger. Jesus did both these things. His testimony here in this 12th verse is true. I have kept them. I have shepherded them. I have guarded them. Yes, Jesus did that. And thank God he does the same thing for his disciples today. He shepherds and he guards. Now that brings me thirdly to just say a word here about the means of this keeping. The Lord Jesus is praying here about keeping. This is the burden of these verses. He wants his disciples to be kept. He wants them to be kept in this general sense of shepherded, and he wants them to be kept in this more narrow sense of being guarded. And he says here to the Father that he wants the Father to keep them. Look at verse 12. He says, I kept them in your name. And then he says there, but before that, he says there in verse 11, Holy Father, keep them through your name. Here's the means by which the people of God are to be shepherded and they're to be guarded. The Lord Jesus Christ says, Father, keep them through your name. Well, now, there's a lot there. What does that mean? Keep them through your name. Well, the name represents the person. To speak of the name of God is to speak of the person of God, the character of God, all the attributes of God. And what are the attributes of God? Well, there's God's power and there's God's wisdom and on we could go. God's faithfulness, his unchangeableness. This is our God. This God is holy and just. He's gracious and merciful. This is our God. And to speak of the name of God is to speak of all of these things that make up God, that make Him God, the attributes of God. And so when Jesus prays here, Father, keep them through your name, He says, Father, keep them through the knowledge of who you are and the knowledge of your sufficiency. Now, the Lord Jesus says back there in verse 6, He says, I have manifested your name to these disciples. This name of God had been revealed by the Lord Jesus. The complete sufficiency of God for their every need. The Lord Jesus had manifested that. He had revealed that. Do you realize we wouldn't know anything about God at all had we not been given a revelation from God? God has revealed to us who He is. Now, here you are. You're one of the Lord's sheep. And you find yourself struggling along in this life. And you find yourself in need of shepherding and guarding. How is this shepherding and guarding to take place anyway? Well, my friends, it's to take place through the sufficiency of your God. And you know about the sufficiency of your God in and through the Word of God. And so I want to tell you, my friends, that if you feel as a sheep of Christ tonight the need to be shepherded and the need to be guarded, I want to tell you that the keeping that you need, the shepherding you need, the guarding that you need is found in the Word of God, which reveals to you who God is and reveals to you the sufficiency of God, reveals to you the grace of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God, the majesty of God. On and on we can go. And as you read this Word and as you see in this Word your God in all of His glorious attributes, you find the shepherding you need and you find the guarding that you need. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. And I find, my friends, whenever I need shepherding, that if I run to this Word and be reminded of the name of my God, I find that I'm being shepherded. And I find whenever my heart is fearful, that if I will run to this Word and read in this Word about my God, I will find that I am guarded and that protection that I need from whatever it is that frightens me comes as I look into this Word and remind myself of the name of my God. And so there we have something about the means that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about when He prayed that the Father would keep His disciples. Now, I just want to wrap this up by saying that we have a tremendous consolation then in these verses of Scripture. There's tremendous consolation here. And someone will say, well, Pastor, where's the consolation in these verses? Well, let me put it to you like this. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was a good prayer? Think he was a good prayer? You think the Lord Jesus Christ, you think it was possible for him to ask his Father to keep his disciples and the Father not do that? Oh, my friends, I want to tell you tonight, there's consolation here because we know that because Jesus prayed this, the Father's going to do it. Now, if you're a sheep tonight, be consoled. God the Father is answering the prayer of Jesus regarding you, and He is going to shepherd you, and He's going to guard you. Now, there's consolation in that for this life. What are you running up against in this life? Because Jesus prayed, my friends, that God the Father would keep the sheep. It does not matter what you face in this life. God the Father is going to shepherd you safely through. He's going to do that. Because the praying of Jesus is effective prayer. And you can take upon your lips the grand old words of that 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want for anything because I have the Lord as my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Oh, what consolation there is here tonight. Because Jesus prayed for the Father to keep all the sheep. If you and I are sheep, we're kept. The Father's giving us everything we need in this life. Someone will say, well, now, I don't know whether I agree with that or not, Pastor. Sometimes I just get the impression that God's not, He's not really meeting all my needs. Well, my friends, our God is so great that even when we are not aware of His working, He's still working. He's still working. There have been times when I thought that God had completely abandoned me. I couldn't see God's working in my life at all. I couldn't see His shepherding. Only to look back years later and say, oh, yes. The problem was not that the shepherding of God was absent. The problem was that my spiritual senses were so dulled and my spiritual eyesight was so dim that I could not see the shepherding hand of my God even when it was at work. Now rest in this tonight because Jesus prayed. You have shepherding in this life. There's consolation for this life. It doesn't matter what you're facing. God is there to help you with it and to guide you, to sustain you, to strengthen you. He's going to get you safely through this life. And then, my friends, there's consolation here for the hour of death. Because that same 23rd Psalm, the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And my friends, I want you to know that because Jesus prayed for his sheep, if you are a sheep, the Father is not only going to shepherd you all through this life, but he's going to shepherd you through the valley of the shadow of death. And I think this is where that more narrow sense of the word keep really comes into play. Because oftentimes when the child of God comes down to the hour of death, he feels himself surrounded by snarling enemies. Guilt is there. The devil is there. Sometimes it seems like all the demons of hell are there. But oh, my friend, the shepherd who shepherded you all through life will shepherd you through the valley of the shadow of death because Jesus prayed for the Father keep the sheep. And he will not only shepherd you in the general sense through the valley of the shadow of death, but he will guard you in that narrow sense. He will beat back your enemies. It does not matter what enemies confront you in the hour of death. Oh, my friend, your shepherd will beat them back, and he'll carry you safely through in the realms of glory. And the psalmist says, so shall I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I'm blessed tonight. Because I have a Christ who prayed that the Father would keep me. Keep me in the sense of shepherding me. Keep me in the sense of guarding me. My friend, my salvation is not in death. The God who saved me is going to shepherd and guard me because Jesus prayed for me. God is going to safely shepherd and guard me right into the kingdom of heaven. That's good, isn't it? I think I can go home and sleep tonight. Let's bow together for prayer. Father,